The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Bite of Reality.
How about good morning?
Good morning. Well, technically it's afternoon.
Well, that's true. Technically. Well, technically they don't let cocaine in the White House either.
Oh, we got a whole show about that. The White House never knew what it really meant until Hunter Biden moved in. But welcome to Bite of Reality. Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon somewhere. All aware. In fact, in Europe right now, it's 6 hours ahead, so it'll be 6 o'clock. I hope you're all enjoying dinner in Italy. Welcome to Italia. So, buongiorno. So, without any further ado, this is Mark the Shark, starting off today with Bite of Reality. We're going to crash right into rhyme time, just like the economy. Just crashing right in. So, here we go. In this world devoid of freedom's light, where liberty's flame flickers, it's out of sight. Oh, how silly an America it would be to live without the guaranteed gifts, these ideals we need to give. Imagine this land where voices are silenced and hushed, and tyranny's grip leaves hearts all around us crushed. No autonomy granted to guide our fate, a life constrained by the aristocracy, a cruel mandate. Without American freedom's embrace, we're confined, bound by real chains, those of the liberal narrow mind. No room to dream or time to explore, our American spirit trapped now and forevermore. Oh, how dark it would be, my friend, if America's freedom and liberty's song finally came to an end. For it is America's freedom that lights the world's way to a lasting, brighter horizon day by day. With freedom's wings we can take flight to chase our dreams, reaching new heights. In America's embrace we must find our voice, a symphony of choice, so our American hearts can rejoice. No boundaries to hinder our desires, no shackles to extinguish our fires. We would thrive in a world where ideas can just flow, where every soul has the right to be free, with the right to grow. There's no gift of freedom without many sacrifice. Remember those who laid down their lives, they paid the ultimate price. For liberals to act like the idiots they are, and for their right to be hate America. To me, this just seems too bizarre. Imagine this world now devoid of these treasures, where hope is crushed and love never measures. A barren land now devoid of compassion, a tapestry now of oppression, in every way is now in fashion. We must cherish the freedoms, we must hold them dear, for they're the foundation of America. Remember Paul Revere? With liberty's flame we must stand tall and strong. Can we ever remember a time of unity, together, where we all belong? So we must fight for freedom's reign, let America's spirit guide us, keeping us sane. For in a world without America's strong, warm embrace, there is so silly it would be. It's such a disgrace. Oh, gather round and lend an ear, for a tale of laughter is a very strange and clear. Of Mr. Magoo with his eyes so blurred, and this wild adventure, yet you haven't heard. In a twist of fate as absurd as these days it can be, Mr. Magoo became a driver for Joe Biden, you see. Not just any driver, but a speedster so bold. And you would think he was a Formula One racer, as the story's now told. And in the land of today's politics, what a sight to behold. For President Joe Biden, he's chosen his political driver, we're told. The man with no vision, though we're not even talking about his sight. This could be a laughable twist, if it wasn't such a serious plight. On the political racetrack, Magoo takes the wheel, but his eyesight and mindset, oh, this situation, it's not ideal. He confuses the political pedals both left and right. With every turn, his policies are just a disaster sight. Mr. Magoo zooming down the political track, a wild ride with liberals, its intellectual acumen they clearly lack. Joe now bumps into walls, spins round and round, falls down, causing chaos both on and off the political trail. America is about to drown. The other political drivers just appear to watch in disbelief. As Mr. Magoo and the Democratic Party, their antics bring us all grief. He takes wrong turns and is really unaware of the race. A serious disaster is occurring all over the place. Meanwhile, back at the White House, in political sphere, President Biden smiles, chuckles, ignores serious questions without any fear. For Mr. Magoo and the media, he sees and has a protective light. A reminder not to take the media seriously, their mantra, out of his mind, out of their sight. As the race continues, the American crowds do cheer. They're witnessing a killing that the American dream, it is very near. Mr. Magoo and Biden drive headfirst without looking, no sensation, bringing more disasters without an ounce of hesitation. And though Biden may not win the race, Mr. Magoo at least leaves a smile on our face. For in this odd tale of alliance, a message should shine. To find a better way forward, life well lived, we must realign. So in the tale of Biden and Magoo, it gives us a lot of info, too, why his politics are failing us to chew. Let's not in America yet go turn off the light. This Bidenomics disaster, it's not working. Their policies are just not right. In this tale of Magoo's racing with Biden's spree, we're a bumbling driver and a president's quest. A worse pair there could not be. Once upon a time in a White House so grand, where leaders gathered with powder in hand, a peculiar tale begins to unfold of cocaine's mischievous journey, the real story yet untold. Cocaine, the humbling seasoning quite sly, decided to embark on a secret trip and go spy. Across the White House it strolled with glee, leaving traces and lines of mischief for no one to see. From the library, the Oval Office, to the grand hallways, cocaine left its footprint in very sneaky displays. Cabinet meetings and press conferences, too, no one suspected that cocaine could really do. In the president's coffee, some sprinkled it with cheer, adding some flavor to the leader's morning sphere. The officials unaware sipped their brew, never suspecting cocaine's White House mischievous debut. Cocaine danced on the speeches that filled the White House air, turning solemn words into a lighthearted, that's no joke, affair. As the politicians slurred their speech, and with gestures so grand, cocaine's invisible touch brought humor to their last stand. And when the negotiations got too heated and tensed, cocaine loosened up the atmosphere, providing recompense. For with a couple of lines, both conflicts were dissolved, and everyone in a fog, wondering how it was resolved. Then in the White House kitchen it took its stride, mixing up recipes with stone-cold culinary pride. Cocaine found its way into the presidential gourmet delights, leaving the chefs puzzled by the unexpected amount of bites. Soon his speech had become quite clear. His ideas again began to flow, probably the only ones this year. Seeing Joe pep up like a real bright bulb warmed America's heart. It reminded us of the Biden days of old, when sometimes out of his mouth actually did make sense, and you did not need an interpreter to know that another war he would not commence. But then the effects, they began to wear off too soon, and maybe Joe in this state would have known to shoot down the spy balloon. But now in the grand ballroom where elegance used to thrive, cocaine added some spice to the formal dancers' lively bare-breasted jive. As they twirled and their world spun, not a care in the world, cocaine's presence was felt through unseen and unfurled. And so cocaine continued its invisible line parade throughout the White House, where it had this day strayed. No one suspected this powder's sneaky spree, bringing smiles, laughter, and joy for all the public to see. So the preeminent protective service, they ran out to the mic. They said, we'll never tell you who brought the cocaine and who fell off the bike. But we'll investigate granny and parents at the school board meetings too, or anyone who looked towards Washington on January 6th, who we will certainly screw. So next time you visit the halls of the real White House powder, remember the tales of cocaine journey when laughter was much louder. For even in all seriousness, a touch of this situation in jest can bring harmony and laughter when men try to feed with their breast. So now once again rhyme time must come to an end. the start of our main show, we must now begin to attend. Don't think of it as the end of this week, because our main show is about to start, and this week's political antics are really beginning to reek. Also, do you think I could get my clients the Hunter Biden deal for their felonies? I think not. My father's not the president. It's really the only set of remedies. So here we bring Rhyme Time to its close for the week. Remember, it's as always, only the truth we bring and we seek. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'll tell you, this week in the White House was astounding. Although I say that, not really believing that it was astounding because, quite frankly, things are out of control at the White House anyway. And, you know, not for nothing, maybe a little cocaine might help them think clearer. Might give them a boost. I'll tell you, Joe needs something. Every once in a while I see him, he's grinning like Jeff Dunham's dummy. You know, it's like you're looking for the hand that's up his back to make his mouth move every once in a while. It's just pretty sad. But, you know, we're gonna cover later on in the show, we're going to hit some high points and low points, depending on your standpoint. And we're going to go over some of the statistics that I found on Biden versus Trump. You know, the worst of the best or the best of the worst, no matter how you look at it. We can't seem to find candidates to run for our country's highest office that are people who you yourself would want to see run this country. It's almost like we have to choose the worst of the best or the best of the worst. First we choose the worst, and then we got to choose the best of the worst. So I'm not sure I like this political landscape, but I got to tell you, it is pretty amazing. So this weekend, just as I predicted last week, 30 people shot, 18 killed in Chicago over the holiday weekend. Welcome to Chicago. Gee, this is easy. No responsibility for crimes, for criminal conduct. Get high crime. Duh. I don't understand why they find that hard to understand. And again, here we go. 13 people killed in Louisiana and in Fort Worth, Texas. So everybody's getting really tired and nobody's doing anything about this. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this. In Baltimore, at a block party, a 4th of July block party, 2 people shot dead, 28 people shot and injured. Okay, so California, you working on reparations for black-on-black crime when other blacks shoot other blacks and kill them? Are you working on that reparations? Where does this stuff go? Is anyone in this country more upset than they were 2 years ago? Has crime gotten out of control completely in these liberal cities? And I hate to say it. It is the blue sneaker cities. It's the main cities of our country. And this is despicable. And here's one particular instance that caught me. I saw something about this morning. And it really just goes to prove my point, what I'm saying here. The reality of America is becoming a dangerous place to live. Now, here's a guy from, and I don't have his name. I wasn't able to catch his name as I saw the story go by. An Afghan interpreter who worked with the United States Special Forces. In Afghanistan, okay? Not exactly the safest place on earth. And he gets out of there. He escapes when we abandon Afghanistan. He escapes to the United States. And he comes here to the United States and settles in Philadelphia. Boy, I got to tell you, bad choice. But hey, you know, nobody's perfect. He's from out of town. Give him a break. So he settles in Philadelphia. He's held up at gunpoint. And he decides, you know what? Philadelphia is not safe for me and my family. Let's get out of here. And he moves to D.C. Of all the places on the planet to move to D.C., what a choice. Well, it was the wrong choice. He opened up a towing truck business, I believe, and he also, on the weekends, he worked as a Lyft driver. Now, guess what happens this weekend? He was shot dead in Washington, D.C. by a bunch of punks. They shot him, and they killed him. And they're on video. There's some video of them running through a backyard in some kind of commercial district. Washington, New York, Baltimore, Virginia, even now Tennessee, California. Don't even get me started with California. When are you people who are running the place going to wake up? And more importantly, quite frankly, when are the voters are going to wake up? You guys put these people in office, okay? So everybody wants to sit there and blame this all on the people in office. I'm sorry. You have to take responsibility, America. My listening audience, you are the smart people in the world. You need to get your people, the people around you, talk to them. When you go out and vote, don't vote for the idiot with the biggest ad. Know who that person you're putting in office is. Because you know what? Stupid is as stupid does. Stupid is as stupid does. When you put idiots in office, George Soros backed DAs who are liberal crime. They're not even crime. I was going to call them liberal crime fighters. They're not. They're liberal people who let crime go on. And they arrest the good people. So here you go. If you're a convicted felon, you're supposed to possess a firearm. If you are using drugs, if you've had drug convictions, are you supposed to possess a firearm? Now, we don't need any more laws to tell you. The answer is clearly, it's a felony. And by the way, when you submit a fake application for a gun with lies on it, that's also a felony. But not anymore under the Bidenomics or the Biden Rules of Justice, the DOJ, Department of Injustice, it should be. It should be the DOI. Because there is no justice when you don't enforce your criminal laws. Stop with the gun laws already, all right? Why don't you try enforcing the laws that are on the books? You can't seem to do that. And people are dying every single day. And they say, oh, give the criminal a second chance. He's a kid. He's a 17-year-old. He's an 18-year-old. Well, guess what? The victims don't get a second chance. When the victim is dead, when the victim is maimed, when they're paraplegic because they got dragged by a carjacker, that's it. They don't get a second chance. So why, tell me, why we should give criminals a second chance? When you go to that depth of reality, when you go to that violent streak, where you have total disregard for somebody's life, where you can shoot them, kill them, or drag them from a car that you're trying to steal, and you wind up severely injuring them or killing them, that's depraved indifference. That person, if you took a dog who bit people all over the place, you would put the dog down. Well, that's what the law enforcement would do immediately, right? They grab the dog from you and put him down because he's a rabid dog. He's a danger to society. So you want to know what you're doing? You're letting the criminals out. You know, in New York, when you drive through on the LIRR through Queens, there are places in Queens that every house on the block looks like a jailhouse. And I say, why? Because they have bars on their windows. Because we keep letting the criminals out. The good citizens of this country have to jail themselves. They have bars around their air conditioning so that people don't steal their air conditioners. This is insanity. This is crazy. Yet we keep electing the same morons. Listen, there are over 400 congressmen and 200 senators and a president who have done nothing to prevent crime, everyday crime in this country. And the stuff that keeps going on, the shoplifting. Somebody was just, I think it was a supermarket where King Boozers or King Losers, it should be called King Losers, these guys stole $300-$400 worth of cleaning stuff. And based on those guys, I can tell you right now, they were not going to be using that detergent and the fabric freshener because they didn't look like they had bathed for weeks or years. But they're going to resell it. But the guy who ran out after them, the employee of the store who ran out after them and filmed them, he was fired. You want to do something legislation-wise, you want to do something, Congress and the Senate, you make it illegal for companies to fire people, to reprimand people who get involved. Who do something the right thing.
He was under orders from his boss. His boss told him, go get a license number, find out who it was, you know? And this guy would have done it anyway. But he went out under orders, even though the store policy is, don't get involved.
Right. Don't get involved. The criminals know this. They can steal up to $900 in California, and I think when this happened, I think it was up to $500 worth of material, and there's no crime. There's no crime. But here's the problem. Every one of us who goes into that store, every one of us who goes in, they call it loss, right? It's shrinkage. It's not shrinkage. It's theft. It's a crime. You can call it, listen, you can put lipstick on a pig. It doesn't make it a zebra. It doesn't matter. You can call it anything you want. It's a crime. And until we start recognizing in this country again that criminals who commit crimes need to be punished without culpability. I've been an attorney for 35 years, and I can tell you, when my clients get no punishment, they'll be back. That's human nature. If I slap you in the face and there's no repercussions, I'm going to go slap somebody else in the face. Look at that dirtbag Neely in the subway. 42 times he was arrested. What happened? Nothing. Nothing. He's back out on the street. Now you have the Marine who steps up, and he's in trouble. He's going to be charged with manslaughter. Are you kidding me? How sick do we have to be as a country before somebody steps up and cures this? This is a major problem in America. So, yes, we have a question in the audience.
Not a question, more like a statement, because to my knowledge, no one's addressing this, particularly any of our quote-unquote main media that gives us garbage for news. But, you know, Mark, and I wish somebody would address it, because it's going to be, we have a problem today, but it ain't nothing like what we're going to have tomorrow. And what's going on in our society, and again, no one's addressing it. No one's coming face to face with it, other than, well, we got to do away with arms. We got to do away with AR-15s. We got to do away with assault weapons. You know, that's all bull. What we have to address is...
Oh, by the way, okay, if I can interrupt you real briefly, because I was going to mention something like that, but I think it's right now. Ready for this? Okay, all the talk about assault weapons. You think that 95 or 99% of people killed with assault weapons, right? No. The Pew Research Center came up with the figure. By the way, only 3% of murders are from assault weapons. Ding, ding. But you guys focus on what seems like a great soundbite. Let's yell about assault weapons, AR-15s, AR-15. 3% of the murders are committed with long guns. Welcome to reality.
You know, the kicker is, an AR-15 is not an assault weapon because it's a semi-automatic. It's not an automatic. An assault weapon has a switch on it that makes it an automatic. And those, can you believe, are illegal in the United States?
I find that hard to believe that something's illegal. But you know what? Tell all your clients as a criminal attorney, it's only illegal if you get caught. Right? That's it. It's only illegal if you get caught. Apparently. And now even if you get caught, it doesn't matter.
Going back to what I was about to address was the fact that COVID was part of it. Our crime situation, you don't have to be a news person that watches the news all the time. All you have to do is walk outside, and I'm 76, and I've never seen an atmosphere that you could cut any place like today. And this is going to have a drastic effect across the country and across the world. As we continue to take in the killings, the number of killings, I mean, you know, the numbers in Chicago are just beyond the pale.
Astounding.
I mean, you know, it's beyond belief. But you add killings and, you know, innocent folks. They walk out on their front stoop and they could well be shot by a drive-by shooter, you know? And yet, that same person that's taking his or her life by going into their front yard is also going crazy by going to the grocery store and the prices that we're paying. There is so much tension in this country today that it's like I said, you could cut it. You wouldn't even need a knife. You know,
America has become a pressure cooker. That's what it's become, a daily life. It's a pressure cooker.
Yep.
Remember when Biden was running for office?
You realize that most people don't even know what the hell a pressure cooker is? I do. I'm old enough.
Well, apparently those guys in Boston, Tsarnaev, they knew what the pressure cooker was.
Yeah.
But, that, you know, I cannot believe here. Here's another one. A cross-dressing BLM activist killed 5 people in Philadelphia. But it's not being reported on. Why? Because it doesn't fit the narrative. Are we looking at these cross-dressing BLM supporters and calling them domestic terrorists? No. Why? Because we're busy calling parents at school board meetings domestic terrorists. So when you take someone like that and you say, well, he's a transgender, he's a cross-dresser, it's an attack on transgender. Listen, folks, with all due respect to the BLM and the
I have
LGBTQ
no respect
plus desire, whatever you want to be, I don't care who you are or what you want to be. But you know what? Be civil. Be sane. And if you're not civil and sane, you don't belong in society.
Let me throw this out. Being a cross-dresser, transgender, whatever the hell all that bull is, that's, I don't see any place on them that gives you a badge to kill.
No. But they claim that they're mistreated, they're bullied, they're, you know, it's a microaggression. Listen, you know what I used to call a microaggression? It's when my shop teacher came up behind me and I was playing with the injection molder the wrong way, and he smacked me in the back of the head. And he said, dummy, don't do that. I told you not to do that. And you didn't do that. And when you got home, okay, and you said to your parents, hey, dad, mom, the shop teacher hit me today. My father would come up behind me and go like this, boom, hit me in the back of the head. Why would you think he hit you in the back of the head? What were you doing? Nothing. Oh, so he just hit you in the back of the head? My parents didn't run to the school and say, oh, my God, he hit my kid. Because teachers back then took pride in what they do. Today, a teacher can't look at a kid. A teacher can't tell a kid he's the wrong gender without getting in trouble. And forget about the salaries they're paying teachers. You want qualified people to go into teaching? You want to see a merit-based system for teaching? You want to see kids become intelligent? No. I believe at this point in our country that they are trying to dumb down the population.
And they're doing it starting in colleges. And wait a second. Who's doing it? The communists. They said they were going to do it, and they've done it. And they're doing it every day. From the college level that teaches other kids to be teachers, to dumb them down, to dumb down their classes, it's a waterfall of dumbing down and taking over the United States.
But this is what they do. Okay, for instance, by the way, we're going to have a new segment of the show. We're going to call it the Dumbass of the Week. The Dumbass of the Week. This week, the Dumbass of the Week award goes to Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream. Okay, America, listen up. It's time to Bud Light Ben and Jerry. Just another idiot company stating that America is evil. On the 4th of July, one of these ungrateful imbeciles tweeted out that the nation that gave them the ability to become millionaires and create a product, bring it to the free market. What a bunch of morons. They turned around and they said America was built on stolen land and we should give back Mount Rushmore. Listen, take your ice cream, shove it up your you-know-whats because I'm done with Ben and Jerry's. Love their ice cream? You want to get involved in politics? Now I hate your ice cream. Thank you very much for pointing out how dumb your company is. Because had I known, listen, I always knew that they were a liberal left-leaning company and that's fine. but they should have stayed out of politics because I'm done with them. And I want to reach out to everybody else. Let them know. Let them know that you are unhappy. Stop buying their ice cream. Make them suffer. Make them hurt. Because you want to step into the political arena, that's fine. Alienate half the country, good luck with your product. We'll see how you do. I hope they go down like the Tajay and the rest of the imbeciles who were out there. Bud Light, brilliant idea, great marketing.
And you know, so, you're bringing up a great point. It seems like the only thing that they understand is the bottom line. And they think that, well, I'll do anything to get my bottom line up. So I'll say transgender and all that crap is good. You know, like you said, get to them where they know what it's about, the pocketbook.
Hit them in the pocketbook. I mean, I don't care if you're transgender, if you're a lesbian, if you're gay, or if you're not sure what you are. I don't care. Or you're pandemic or whatever they call that. When they say you can love whoever you want to love, that's fine. I don't care. But if that's your only defining character in your life, there's something missing in your life. There's something wrong with you. Okay? Not because you're transgender or because you're gay or lesbian or something else, but because that is the defining character in your life that you feel that that's the only thing that matters to you. Okay? I disagree with that. And listen, it's my opinion. But like everything else, well, it was interesting this week. Oh, I gotta move on from this. But our government censorship. So this week, a federal district court judge in Louisiana, Judge Terry Dougherty, issued a preliminary injunction. Ready for this? I never, ever, in my career as an attorney, in law school, in elementary school, would ever think that a federal judge needs to issue a restraining order against our United States government to not collude with big tech companies in censoring free speech. Did I miss something in the Constitution? Did they take that First Amendment out along with the Second Amendment and put in instead abortion is now a constitutional right? I mean, listen to me, folks. This is insanity. You cannot sequester speech. Remember the free state of argument? Well, see, that's the problem. When you have liberals and progressives, and I don't even think, honestly, liberals are not for suppressing free speech. Progressives are, because progressives is the new canned word for communist, for socialist. That's the new canned word for it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you right after this break. Don't miss this. You're going to love this. Stand by right after this break. We'll be right back with Bite of Reality.
This is America's Web Radio. Would you like to have a show, talk about your business, or express your opinion on America's Web Radio? Just email gm@americaswebradio.com and we'll get back to you. Thank you.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
If you have lost a loved one and were left with a firearms collection and are not sure how to dispose of them safely, or you may have firearms you no longer want, this message is for you. I am a licensed FFL firearms dealer in the state of Florida, specializing in estate firearm purchases. It is very important that all firearm transactions be handled according to state and federal laws. You can contact me for information at firearmliquidationservice@outlook.com, or you can call or text me at 407-921-8100 24/7 and ask for James. Again, for information, contact me at firearmliquidationservice@outlook.com or call or text me at 407-921-8100. All communications are strictly confidential.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with Bite of Reality. Listen to Mark the Shark on America's Web Radio. And interestingly enough, if you like what you hear, get in touch with the station. Become a sponsor. Become a sponsor of Bite of Reality. Because we're always looking for wide open, wide, smart people to join in the fight. Because that's what this is. This is a fight. This is a fight for the core of American values. So let me jump on board here with our government censorship right before the break. So I am amazed in this country, the country that was built on freedom, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, being the First Amendment of the Constitution, free speech. So we all know now that the government was colluding with big tech. Why is that even a question right now? But hey, after all these investigations, nobody's ever held accountable for anything. Never. How about Russia, Russia, Russia? Anybody ever get accountable? Culpable for somebody? Nope. And you wonder why people have no faith in the justice system. It's amazing. They can stand there and say, we don't know why. Well, let me tell you something. If the left and the progressive want censorship, like I heard AOC open her mouth, and oh my God, I got to tell you, I'll talk about her in a second, but let me finish up with this. If you guys want censorship, okay, by all means, get a one-way flight. Let me tell you how to get it. Get a one-way flight to Russia. Take a one-way flight to Cuba. Get the heck out of this country. Seriously, just get out. You don't like freedom? Leave. We don't want your censorship. We Americans built on freedom. The discussions, argue, talk back and forth, okay? We don't want your dictatorship. We don't want the government telling us what we can say, what we can't say, what time to get up, what time to go to sleep, where you can sleep, what you can do. We don't want the government to do that. That's not America. That's authoritarianism. AOC, it's a teachable moment for you because I heard you the other day talking about authoritarianism and you haven't got a clue. Not a clue. And these are the people leading our country. So then, I heard this week also, this was great. Jill Biden introduced Joe Biden as the education president. Holy moly. Talk about hypocrisy. Talk about bizarre land of disconnected from reality. We have the lowest level in decades of students graduating from high school. They can't read. They can't do math at ground level. That's probably what they're reading it as. And he's the education president. Well, apparently Jill Biden says that she's a teacher, a doctor of teaching. What doctor of teaching? I have no idea. But you know what? Not for nothing. Here's the walk. The education individual has destroyed our educational system, Joe Biden. Prevented people from having school choice, Joe Biden. Having students that are dumber and dumber, yeah, Jill Biden and Joe Biden. She thinks her husband's doing a great job. And she's in the education system. Does that tell you something, folks? This is the detachment of our national government from reality, from anything that's on a day-to-day basis in our lives. Just like they said, the economy is doing fantastic. Have you been to the supermarket lately? Have you been to the gas pump lately? And we're going to jump into that in a few minutes. Our government is supposed to be helping America, not destroying it. You know, Jill Biden calling Joe the education president. That's like calling... That's like calling Putin the liberator of Ukraine. It's detached from all reality. It's just bizarre. And by the way, how's the Democratic progressive policing policies going in our big cities? How's that working out? Can you out there in Radio Land, can you tell me, can you let me know ahead of time? Because apparently when you're dead, no one understands that you can't get back in touch with people. So, no second chances for being dead. That's it. When you're dead, you're dead. These asinine progressive policies are killing our cities. They're destroying. Joe says there's a migration to the booming economy down south. He's revitalized the south. He's an idiot. He can't understand why they're leaving because the progressive policies in the blue cities up north and in the northeast and in California are destroying this country. So people leave. They vote with their feet. They get out. So just let them out. Listen, progressive policing policies, no culpability, no repercussions. Now they want to have every police encounter with someone written down on paper. Oh, that's brilliant. Why don't we have our cops just doing paperwork and crossword puzzles, and we'll see how crime goes? Gee, another Alvin Bragg genius idea. We don't want to prosecute violent felons. An army of George Soros-backed DAs. Gee, what could possibly go wrong here? And, you know, we tend to give less public attention, to gun-related murders and suicides. By the way, let me give you some facts and figures on gun-related deaths, okay? Because you're not going to hear this anywhere else. 54% in 2021, which is the latest numbers that we have. Why? I have no idea, but I do have a good idea why they're not putting out the new numbers under Biden. That I can tell you. But in 2021, 54% of all gun-related deaths in the U.S. were suicides. 43% were murders. That's according to the CDC. The remaining gun deaths were accidental. Gee, those are people who should not be owning guns. And some involved law enforcement, about 537, and other gun deaths, undetermined circumstances. So where are we here? 3% of murders were from assault weapons. So why is the focus on assault weapons? Because it makes a great media clip. And people, those idiots on The View, well, my God, that looks like a pig fest over there. What happened to these people? What happened to these people in their lives that they were so badly treated, that their views are so strange and warped? So here's the other question. We're busy focusing on things like this. You ready for this? And that, this is not, as Joe Biden would say, this is no joke. In Michigan, they passed a bill that could make using the wrong pronouns a felony with fines up to $10,000. Why, they decreased the penalties and fines for violent felonies like gun charges, murder, stabbings, rape, carjackings. They're decreasing those because, hey, who needs those, right? When you can get someone for using the wrong pronoun. Can't wait to see that first trial. And sir, excuse me, officer, arrest that guy for calling me sir. My pronoun is they. Are you kidding me, folks? Listen, we have to get, this is the genius bar of government right now. This really is. This is amazing to me. And you have people like AOC. Okay, she talks about that Trump was an authoritarian. Are you kidding me? Let me explain to you, AOC, and the rest of the progressives out there who don't have a brain cell functioning, okay? Authoritarianism is defined as, by Webster, the enforcement or advocacy of strict obedience to authority at the expense of personal freedom. Huh. That sounds like progressive, doesn't it? That doesn't sound authoritarian. Oh, gee. Listen. She understands about as much as about authoritarianism as she does about economics. And that she, I believe she was an economics major, which is pretty serious. I mean, listen, if she had a brain cell functioning, it would be scary. But you know what? There she is right up there in front of the microphone. She comes out and says, we need to cure racism because after the Harvard decision, I talked about that last week, after the Harvard decision saying you can't cure racism with racism, well, she jumps right up to the microphone, right in front, flanked by Jerry Nadler, that genius, and Chuckie Schumer. He's too old to be old. He's standing there and she's standing there, and they're talking about the fact that the Supreme Court has an insane position. Why? Because it doesn't belong? That doesn't believe in racism? Curing racism with racism. Listen to what she's saying. Curing racism by creating more racism. That's like, let's cure polio by giving everyone polio. The stupidity is beyond realm of it's like, I can't believe the words coming out of her mouth.
I beg to argue with you on her economics. She understands economics. When she's sitting up on the bar, she gets more money, more tips, the wider her legs are spread. And she knows that if she closes her legs and doesn't show anything, she gets less money. So what does she do?
Well, listen, that's her prerogative. Listen, this is a free country, right?
That's right.
So she's free to do what she wants.
And so she knows economics.
Right. But she knows economics. Listen, she understands the value of what she is, which is pretty much valueless. If she was ugly, she wouldn't be where she is today. And let's face it. I know everybody's going to say, oh, that's racist. A sexist would say, as Greg Gutfeld says, a sexist would say. But I mean, clearly, She doesn't understand the basics of Congress and what they control the purse. She's an idiot. You know, she believes the president...
No, wait a second. Again, I beg to argue with you. She's not the idiot. It's every one of the idiots that voted for her.
Well,
they're the idiots.
I agree with you on that one. That is 100% correct. This goes back to what we said before. If you put idiots in office, you expect idiot results. So then she was talking about the student loan program. I'm sorry. I put two kids through college. I worked my butt off. I gave up everything. I'm driving around a 2007 car because my car went to college. My car, both of them went to college. And they walked out of college with no debt. And I'm damn proud of that because you know what? I was taught by my parents, you do for yourself. Don't go like the Allstate people with your hands out. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, John Kennedy said it the best. He said it the best. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. We have lost that feeling. We have lost that in this country. And that goes back to the civics issue. Okay? So this genius, AOC and Jerry Nadler, who's a lying sack of garbage. God, you New York, keep voting for him and keep voting Chucky in there. You know, I told you months and months ago I did vote one time for Chuck Schumer because he was a good senator at one point. And now he's gone completely bonkers. Maybe there should be an age, you know, intelligence test. He's lost it. He's completely gone left. But this is what I'm saying is she believes the president had the power. And you know who the best advocate against what he did was? And you're going to find this hysterical, folks. Nancy Pelosi. When he first proposed that 2 years ago, Nancy Pelosi says, the president does not have the power to do that. He does not have the authority. It's Congress's job. Gee, what a shocker. Nancy Pelosi speaking the truth. That ought to floor everybody. I should have told the audience to sit down. Many of them probably fell over by now. But this was the best. This was just amazing. You know, we have a government that's hanging on by a thread. The United States is hanging on by a thread. And these lunatics, this dysfunctional government, is talking about giving student loans, paying off student loans for people who decided to go to college and take jobs that don't pay any money. Duh. If I'm going to go out, am I going to take basket weaving and try to make that a career? Only if it pays well. That's the job, right? But if you go out and you take diversity, equity, and inclusion, although those people are making six-figure salaries, and I can't for the life of me figure out what they're doing. But the bottom line is, listen, you took out a loan. I took out a loan. I paid it off. I took out $40,000 or $50,000 worth of money when I went to school. And yes, thank the government for giving it to me. But I paid it back every last dime with interest. And interest was at 9% back then. It wasn't 2% or 1%. Okay? It actually had something behind it. But here's the problem. The government is dysfunctional. And they're going to try this again right before the election in 2024. I'm telling you right now, folks, mark my word. Put it down on your calendar. You're going to hear this again. They're going to push this right before the 2024 election and get the same stupid idiots that voted for them before to try to do it again. They don't have the right to do it. And quite frankly, if they have the right to do it, then every guy who's a plumber, who's an electrician, who took out a loan for a van or for anything else should get their loan paid off. But you know what? Where do you think that money comes from? People, wake up. That government doesn't make money. Government collects the money and distributes the money to other people, and apparently other countries also. So we do that. We don't create the money. That money comes from somewhere. Why should I pay off someone's loan that went to school? Am I going to get a $20,000 credit on my mortgage? Why not? I'm the same person in the United States. What about the Equal Protection Clause? Remember that Constitution, that pesky little document? But I wanted to jump in. I get a little heated on these matters. But let me jump into the White House press conference with Flopsy Mopsy and the cocaine train. I think the Grateful Dead wrote a song about that. Are they seriously going to stand there and tell we, the people, that the finest law enforcement agency and protective service in the world, with probably the highest level of security anywhere in the world, can't determine who and how a bag of cocaine got into the White House. Folks, I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it. And they want to know why people don't trust law enforcement. There you go. This is ridiculous. Watching the press conference with Flopsy Mopsy this week was like watching a foreign film with the screen turned off. Not a word that came out of her mouth was comprehensible. You couldn't comprehend what she was saying. It didn't make any sense. And, you know, it stems from the fact that she doesn't want to get ahead of anything. This is great. I love the catchphrase. I don't want to get ahead of anything. I don't want to get ahead of what's going on. She keeps claiming she doesn't want to get ahead of that. Doesn't want to get ahead of anything. That's pretty much where we find American government in the state of chaos right now. We're 100% always late to the game. We're late to the table. We're not there when things are going on. Look at the spy balloon incident. Late to the table? How about the spy bases in Cuba? I'm just not going to get ahead of it, she says. This was great. But, interestingly enough, she's not going to get ahead of it. But apparently the Secret Service isn't going to get ahead of it either. So, what the original EMS radio call came in, and I heard the radio call, which was released, for the hazmat team, because they didn't even know whether it was cocaine or anthrax or something even more deadly, which could have been an attack on the United States. But you're missing the point. This, they know how it got in there. I've been to the White House several occasions, and I've been through the security. It is the tightest security. It's like take the TSA times a billion. Nothing moves in or out of that building without them knowing about it and seeing it. So I just don't buy that they can't find out who it was. They would know in an hour where this came and where it went. So here's the question. This is apparently initially the EMS radio call came in for the hazmat team to respond to the library. This is a critically secure area. This is where high-ranking officials, the presidential family, and their guests. It's an escort-only area, according to the reports. But then, miraculously, surprise, then it was in a cubbyhole, according to Flopsy Mopsy, in a highly trafficked area. No, wait a second. No, it's not right. Oh, wait a second. There's a new story out now. Now it's in the West Entrance. Every day, people, pretty amazing. This cocaine keeps on moving around the White House. Must have legs. This is serious because it could have been more than cocaine. It could have been something deadly. And we're not looking at it like that. The media's laughing it off. It's a bag of cocaine. Who cares? Hunter's been doing bags of cocaine for years. Nobody cares, right? Given the White House new meaning, I never thought this would be the meaning, the cocaine palace. But the Secret Service already told you. They already set it up for you. They already know who it is, I bet. They already set it up. They said, we're probably never going to know where it came from and where it got there and how it got there. Okay. So they're telling us, thanks for playing. Okay. So then we're going to move on. So now, interestingly enough, it's either in the East Wing or the President's residence, which are not available to the general public. So now let's talk about Bidenomics. We're going to jump right back into that because it's working so well. Bidenomics, 68% more small businesses filing bankruptcy since Biden has been in office. Take a look at that number, 68% more small business bankruptcies. Yeah, Bidenomics is working great. Absolutely fantastic. 76% of Americans polled think that the economy's condition is fair or poor. Keep running around talking about Bidenomics. Go ahead. Keep going. Because if you're buying it, America, I got bridges that you can buy also. Did anyone price out a steak for the 4th of July? Yeah, that's why we were all eating hot dogs and hamburgers. How about the price of gasoline? You fill up your car? That extra drive you wanted to take along the beach? No, you're not going to do that. You know what? Personal finances in America are a disaster. Here you go. Another mark for Bidenomics. Another threshold sky mark. $1 trillion in American credit card debt. Thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you, Mr. President. And Janet Yellen's over in Russia? You don't think there's a problem here? Are you kidding me? What are you doing in Russia? What are you doing in China? You're all over the country. And I should say you're all over the world. But the problem is in this country. Pay attention, folks. Pay attention to where the people are in this country. 6 months, this economy has grown 1%. That's pathetic. That's beyond pathetic. You know, since the economy in the United States really sucks and is falling apart, we sent Janet Yellen to Beijing. This is like having Mr. Magoo drive Biden around the White House grounds. So let's go comparison, place to place. You know, the begging bar is open. We sent Janet Yellen over to China. Yeah, she's going to come back with about the same thing that Anthony Blinken Lincoln did. So let's see. Let's go to the real facts and figures here, okay? Start out with something really interesting. Gas prices, right? Since we stopped producing American oil and gas. Oh, and by the way, before I jump off of this topic, anybody familiar with gallium and germanium? Anybody? Well, no. You know why? Because China controls the gallium and germanium mining. And what is that used for? Huh? That's critical for making new car batteries and chip manufacturing. Hey, that's great. We spent $500 billion in new chip manufacturing plants. Fantastic idea, guys. What are you going to manufacture them with if China owns all the raw materials? The stupidity of this government is just blatantly obvious. It really is. It's so short-sighted, it's incredible. This is the genius bar at work of your government, and they don't understand diddly squat about manufacturing. First you secure your raw materials, then you secure your technology, then you build your factories to put it all together. But no, what do? Because it looks great on TV, $500 billion for manufacturing chips. What are you going to manufacture them with? You don't own the gallium and you don't own the germanium. But these people are too stupid to understand that. And you wonder why I get upset with these people. So let's look at some more Bidenomics since we started ignoring our oil and gas industry, one of the greatest producers in the world. Trump versus Biden gas prices. 2017, $2.47. 2023, $3.55. Price of milk, $3.23. 2017 under Trump. Biden, $4. Price of chicken, $147, $192 under Biden. And what do you think? The price of houses, that is the amazing part of this whole deal. The price of housing. You now need $108,000 to qualify for a medium house when you needed $56 under Trump. Average mortgage, 2.77 under Trump, 6.77 now. Median price of homes under Trump, $303,000. Under Biden, $416,000. People, wake up. Bidenomics is the destruction of America. It's taking us piece by piece, and unfortunately, really quickly. You know, we're coming to the end of the show, and I hope I got my points across this week, because you know what? Sending Janet Yellen to China is like having Mr. Magoo become a Formula One race car driver. It's ineffective, and it's useless. Well, I want to thank you for listening to Bite of Reality. You've been listening to Mark the Shark, and have a great week. Thanks for listening.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.